Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. As a great man once said, it's time. Browner and Lawhead in the building. John Browner, Jason Lawhead, right here on the Mightier 1090, bringing you the entertainment side of talk radio. Because again, by the time you've heard it from us, you've heard it from everybody else. So it's going to be a little different. It's not going to be what you're used to. I'm John Browner. That's Jason Lawhead. You can always find us right here on the Mightier 1090 and on all your social media platforms under Kaplan and Crew. You can find the podcast in the podcast store, and you can find us on YouTube as well. Jason, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, just excited to get going as always. And want another little quick reminder, this Friday or Saturday, any of the great friends out there in the North County or Escondido area that want to come out and see a great comedy show, I'm co-headlining with Chris Cope at the Grand Comedy Club. You can go to grandcomedyclub.com. Use the promo code 1090. When you check out, you'll get $10 off any ticket, any show. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. There's outdoor shows in each show, and there's indoor shows in each show. So check one out that you might like. They've got some heaters out there. Looking forward to it. And as you and I have talked about, you're going to see Louis C.K. at Balboa Theater Friday night. I'm going to be checking them out tomorrow night on Thursday night. So I'll get my kind of comedy juices flowing a little bit for the weekend. I've opened for Louis before, so I'm gonna take Kaplan. We're gonna have a good time. Hopefully you guys you go out Friday night, you'll have a blast. He's always great, so he won't disappoint.
On the show today, we're still talking about emails and not Hillary Clinton's. Thank God it's not Hillary Clinton's. The AFC West, the NFC West, and power rankings. That's what we got. We own the show with all that today. So first, normally we start with winners and losers. We got to skip that today. We got to skip that today because I want to continue down this path because now another person has been added to the email gotcha list, okay? First it was John Gruden. Now we've reached the Adam Schefter portion of Emailgate NFL style. Listen to the show. If you don't listen to the show, if you listen to sports, I will give you a quick run over of how we got to today. John Gruden said a bunch of racist, hateful emails from 2011 to 2017-18. There's over 650,000 of these emails. Somehow, his little bunch of the emails got him fired from Oakland, from Las Vegas, resigned. You chalk it up however you want to chalk it up, but he ain't there no more, okay? He out. Today comes out in those emails as well that now every NFL reporter and the NFL Players Association is demanding the release of all the emails, because I guarantee you there's some Kaepernick collusion in there. Adam Schefter gets caught up in this because he, in 2011, which appeared to be a hot year for Bruce Allen, was emailing him about a story Adam Schefter was going to release on ESPN later that day or the following day, which basically was asking the person that worked for the Redskins, not, hey, do you have anything to comment on this story? I'm going to put this out. What do you need me to either put in here, take out, or change? If you know anything about journalism, if you know anything about integrity as a reporter, you don't do that. You do not tell a person how to edit your story unless they're your editor. Adam Schefter in this email even went as far to jokingly refer to the Redskins upper management person he was emailing as Mr. Editor.
Wow.
Now, it depends on what you think of these NFL reporters or journalists, however you want to qualify them. If they're breaking this kind of news, you know they're getting it from somewhere. Like, what do you think the unnamed source is? Like, what if you're mad about this, you are in a lot of trouble with what's going on with the NFL. And if they release these 650,000 emails, they're reckoning that may come to your fandom. Jason, I don't know why there are people mad about this. Like, they didn't know, but you tell me, what do you think?
You know, it's kind of like when you find out Santa Claus isn't real before, you know, if it's sprung on you in a way, I guess. So you're like, hey, wrestling wait a isn't minute, real. Man, I didn't want to not know this, even though I knew it. you know, you're kind of actually giving me a lot of the info. I've kind of glossed over a little bit of the story being spun around and all of the October events of sports and between baseball and everything else and these emails. So I'm learning a little bit more about Scheffner's direct, you know, kind of collusion in this story.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me. And every time you see the guy, no matter if he's on NFL Live, he's just doing it. I mean, the camera, he's just doing this constantly. All the guy's doing is emailing. That's all Scheffner does. He's like, let's go to Adam Scheffner. But yeah, I mean, I like that the players union has stepped in quickly to say, we demand it. We want to see it all. We want to know what is the extent of where we're being either, you know, misrepresented, overrepresented, you know, all the different representations of all these different stories and who's got their hand in what cookie jar to say, print this, but don't print that. And, you know, make this, exaggerate this and bury that. So yeah, I mean, it's, this looks like something that's going to be a season long kind of unfolding. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I'd like to know a little bit more, you know, or hear a little bit more of your take on where you think, you know, where do you think the end game here is? And what do you think is, do you think that there's still, you know, owners will be totally protected no matter, you know, who starts digging and, you know, or what, you know, what could be the outcome here, Browner? What do you think?
I think there's no way in hell the Players Association is getting those emails. Yeah. Not going to happen. Yeah. It's snowball chance in hell. Right, exactly. You can't even get your toenails clipped, okay? Yeah. You can't get your back cracked. You can't get your neck aligned. Nothing. They ain't give you, you're not going to get these emails, man. If the Players Association get their hands on these emails, it's over for the owners. It is. This is my opinion, because this is why I think, one, Goodell kept the findings from the original investigation from July under wraps, because it's not good for the owners. What's in these emails are conversations going back and forth with other owners, other representations, advertisers, because in these emails with John Gruden, there are advertisers in these emails as well. So the level of, not even egg, just the level of toxicity that would be exposed at that level for the people who don't already know or believe it would be entirely too much for the NFL to manage, to stomach. Because again, you got to ask yourself this question. Are there any minority owners in the NFL? No. Shad Khan, maybe. Okay. One. In addition to that, are there any women owners? Virginia McCaskey, if you count her, maybe. And she's 97, so I don't even think she knows she's at a football game half the time. Somebody just wheeling her around and giving her juice. I don't. The NFL.
She's not speaking for the team.
Right. There are no prominent minority voices, whether it be minority in gender or whether it be I don't even know more women than men, but you understand what I'm saying. Or in race in these rooms. So with these discussions that these rich, white, old men are having are the discussions of rich, white, out of touch, powerful old men. So imagine what those emails really look like.
Right. Because at the end of the day, when you talk about the kind of money that can suppress a story for the New York Times, right? Like you're talking about the guys that, so I don't care how big of the contract John Gruden was or who the richest player in the NFL that would step up for the union and have the most money or even get five guys who can pull the most, they're not going to be able to pay off the owner of a media outlet. Like 2 to 3 to 10 to 30 owners have, and the breadcrumbs of that collusion says, hey, look, you know, pick this out, because if you see it, it's all going to be players and coaches, if anybody, or a reporter like Scheffner, they can sacrifice this guy no matter
they're all lambs at this point.
How many clicks he's gotten in the past for them. There'll be another one to come down the pike to get those clicks. So Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think that the players union obviously is going to kind of spout off as much as they can, and they'll be kind of probably pushed to the side. And then with all the other issues they fight for, they're going to say, what bad? I mean, at this point, you know, they've got real battles inside of you know, specific individual or group things that they're trying to support and represent. Right. And eventually this fight will be kind of breathless for them over time. So, you know, I don't think you're right. I think you're right. I don't think we'll ever get the whole extent of the story and really what's deep down in it. And somebody had something out for Gruden.
Here's another reason why you won't ever get the full story.
But it's interesting that it's right now it's just narrowed down to him.
Here's why you won't also get the real story. The NFL's partners are the following. Fox, which runs Fox News, one of the largest cable news network in the world. NBC, which owns MSNBC. CBS, which owns MSNBC. NBC, which owns CNN.
Right.
And then ABC, which is ESPN, which runs Disney.
Yeah.
So they've got it all covered. The people who would actually take this story out and go, hey, yo, we need to cover this, it'll get squashed from somebody above. You will never see the light of those emails. The best chance you have
is what we've got. It's all about the advertisers at the end of the day, because if they say, hey, we threw John out of the league, or we're going to throw this next person out of the league, and the owners don't get it, that way advertisers, they're satisfied. Okay. There's somebody paying for this, so we don't have to feel like our, you know, consumers are going to say, well, you know, why are you still advertising with the NFL? Because they're going to protect the owners at all costs.
If you caught Jerry Jones in an email using the exact same language that John Gruden did, Jerry Jones ain't selling that team. Like, let's talk real right now.
Right.
Because they've got some disgusting stuff on Daniel Snyder and his organization. He ain't selling that team.
Right.
He ain't doing it. They got too much money. They got too much power within that league to do that. So it's not going to happen. Now, if you call Dean Spanos with these emails, it's a wrap for him. So there are certain people who you can get and snuff them out under these restrictions and guidelines. And there are some people who are above it. Jerry Jones is above it. Robert Kraft is above it. Daniel Snyder has shown you he's above it.
Right. And it goes back to that Donald Sterling. You're right when it comes to representation, right? Yes. Like the NBA is not perfect, but it's widely more represented in executive positions and ownership positions of minorities and people of colors. And Donald Sterling had a dumpster fire of a franchise. I mean, he didn't have any banners hanging. He had nothing. Elgin Baylor was a long time, executive for him. So, you know, that was easy to just be like, you're gone, man. It doesn't matter. You got no voice in this ownership core because you're not everybody's like Donald Sterling in the NBA. Whereas if things come out, there's going to be more people like Daniel Snyder in the NFL at those top positions. So absolutely right, man. It's interesting to see if anything more really unfolds, but I have to agree that I don't think we're going to see the real trophies, of this trophy hunt. You're just going to see mostly gazelles and, jackals getting sacred. You're not going to see the big elephants and lion heads coming down on this one.
So now we've got some really, really good games coming up for you guys in the AFC West this week and also in the NFC West. So we're going to hit a couple of these games right now. We're going to start with the AFC West. Tell me, Jason, who do you have? We've got the Chargers and the Ravens. The Chargers, surprisingly, after what we saw from the Ravens on Monday night, the Chargers are a +3 in this game.
Well, yeah, and, you know, especially with the way the Ravens have gotten down early in some games this year, and they've had to be the kind of team to claw back, whereas the Chargers have, they played a little bit of comeback football against Cleveland, but it wasn't a big deficit, and they've been able to prove that they can get through a tough part of their schedule right now. I mean, this is going to be kind of the back end of a really meat grinder for them in a 3 or 4 week span. And coming off, you know, the Ravens are coming off that short week. Chargers just proved that they could win on a short week. So it'll be interesting. I think I like the Chargers in this game going forward. I think maybe the Ravens have just kind of gassed a little bit of, house money here, and it may show its face coming this weekend. But man, don't count Lamar Jackson out. This will be probably the most exciting quarterback matchup of two different styles, but two of the most exciting guys going at it all week long.
I think there's a lot being made of this game, and you hit on it. This game's not, I don't think this game's going to be close. I think as a team, I think the Chargers are far better than the Ravens. I think as a individual quarterback battle, I think these guys are on the same level. They just deliver in different ways. One takes a plane, one takes a train. But they both get to the station. They get to the destination at the same time. But if you look at the rosters, the Chargers are a much better roster at every position. Whether it be tight end, wide receiver, offensive line, running back, corner, safety, linebacker, defensive line. The Chargers are better at every single spot.
The Ravens have that ability, though. They have that ability to drag you down, right, and play to certain levels. They have that ability on special teams to create some stuff and, you know.
Against the Raiders, yeah.
Sure. We'll see how that transpires. And you know, I think of the big key to this game, I think it's going to be closer than what you probably are saying. But I think the big key to this game on both sides of the ball, because you're starting to see Harbaugh even do this more than you would ever see, is these third and fourth down conversions, right? Third down to fourth down and who converts. That was a big story in the Cleveland Chargers difference, right? Cleveland played this perfect game on paper, except for third and fourth down conversions. That's where the Chargers killed the Browns. Their percentage on third and fourth down was way better throughout the game, and they took those risks. And we'll see who takes more risks on that and who executes on that. I think that'll be the difference in the game.
The Chiefs are giving away 7 points to the Skins, or I guess the Washington football team.
We say San Diego, Oakland, and Redskins probably more than any talk show in the history of talk shows.
We don't get it. We don't get it.
Who cares?
We just gotta go with what we think. Listen, the Chiefs are struggling. They're banged up, not from a physical standpoint, but just from a psychological standpoint. The Washington football team, their defense is a mystery right now. And I don't think it's going to get solved Sunday against the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win this game. I don't think it'll be by 7 because of the way that they've been struggling lately, but I think the Chiefs will win this game.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win this game, and I may be right around that spread number. Vegas knows their numbers pretty well. I think maybe if Washington can get an early pass rush and dictate some kind of tempo there, get KC off the field, that's going to be the only key to get them, you know, to keep them in a game. I think if KC and Mahomes can kind of break up, you know, get rid of that pass rush early and hit their spots with Kelce and Tyreek, I think it'll be an easy day for the Chiefs. It's all going to depend on that Washington pass rush is going to keep them in that game.
Broncos, Raiders. 2 weeks ago, this is a marquee game. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, this is the game a lot of people are talking about. Week five, not week three, this game played at week five is like, ugh, that's going to be a terrible game. Like, that's going to be it's a division game, so it's important. But if you talk about two teams who need to see each other, these are two, because both of them, back-to-back losses, started the season 3-0, roughly playing puff pieces, with the exception of the Ravens that the Raiders beat on Monday night in a disaster-filled game. Jason, who you got?
Well, I think this is a huge game for Vic Fangio and the Broncos, considering what the baggage the Raiders are bringing into this game and all the distractions and the way, you know, they started out 3-0 and they've tripped up now. And, you know, three straight losses for the Broncos, I think, will be a lot more detrimental than the situation for the Raiders, because a third straight loss for the Raiders would be the 10th worst thing that happens to them this week. So, big game for Vic Fangio, just to even stay in that, you know, wild card hunt in the tough division, to just say, hey, look, mm-hmm. we can hang in there, get us to the second half of the season. Because if the Broncos lose this, they're heading in, you know, to that, you know, 6, 7, 8 week mark in a kind of really dangerous territory.
You know, as much as I want to tell you the Raiders are going to find it in them to overcome the madness and even be competitive in this game, I don't see it happening. I don't know what the Broncos are doing at quarterback. I don't know how healthy Teddy Bridgewater is, and I've never been a real fan of Drew Lock, but they have defense. They got nothing. They got defense. Vic Fangio is a fantastic defensive coordinator. He's a fantastic defensive coach, and I think that's going to be the difference right. in this game. I don't think I don't think this is going to be a 35, 38, 35, 41, 42 type game. I think this is going to be one of those 17 to 12s or 14 to 6s, because the Raiders have a lot going on.
The one thing Gruden brought was a good relationship with Carr. And yes. he was starting to kind of get – if there was one thing that the the Raider offense could lean on, it was the communication between those two to get some things right, even after some drives.
We're going to rank some power. We'll be back. Yeah. Welcome to the second half of the show, Browner and Lawhead. I'm John Browner. I am joined by comedian and live performer this weekend. Well, actually, tomorrow?
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, professional performing comedian at the Comedy Palace.
Nope, Jason Grand Comedy Club.
That too. I'm just going to keep naming right. things wrong.
GrandComedyClub.com.
Great Friends is the discount code. I'll get it eventually. Even if that's correct, I don't know.
Hey, it goes with the theme. We call the Chargers San Diego. We call the Raiders right. Oakland.
Right.
It goes with the theme.
If you're just joining us on the Mightier 1090, head over to the Apple Podcast Store or the Google Play Store and download the podcast of the show to get everything that you miss, whether it's here or Monday or Tuesday, because we're on 3 days a week from 6 to 7. In addition to that, find us on YouTube at Kaplan and Crew. We talked about the AFC. We talked about the emails, which I don't want to talk about anymore. Let's talk power rankings. What was that?
That was I was doing the
trumpet version?
But that's like the trumpet that they use. That's my trumpet impression. I don't have a Trump impression. I have a trumpet impression.
Power rankings. We're gonna tell you who our top five teams in the league are. Jason, you're first. Who you got at number five?
I don't have a lot of change from last week, especially with the way the Ravens pulled that football game out. I'm gonna keep them at five. Like I had them last week because of the way Lamar was able to will them to that 4-1 record. There was some other teams lingering in there. I just think that Tampa win over Miami just isn't as impressive enough to get them back into my top five. Right. So I'm going Ravens five.
Me too. The power of Lamar Jackson has worked on my power rankings as well. Lamar Jackson has pulled this team to the number five slot in my power rankings. Again, what that comeback you saw in front of the football world is what changes people's minds about whether he can pass, whether he's a runner. He just looks like a playmaker. So shout out to him. Number four, who you got?
Number four is where I'm going to slide some positions. Last week, they were my number three, but they've fallen down to four just based off of performances against each other. I'm going Green Bay Packers with a just Houdini-like win over the Bengals to stay at 4-1 in that week. Another close game. All of my power fives here had some really interesting games. So I'm going Packers 4, coming down from 3 last week.
For me, the Buffalo Bills are my number 4 team. I got nothing against Buffalo.
Sounds like
it. I'm just not a believer. You've got a lot more to convince me on whether Josh Allen is that guy. I'm just not a believer. Maybe I haven't seen as much as other people. Maybe for whatever reason, sometimes you get a guy that everybody loves that you just don't like. And maybe that's Josh Allen for me. I'm not saying Josh Allen is a bust. I'm not saying Josh Allen ain't good. I'm just saying when I watch Josh Allen, I'm not impressed. I'm really not. I really don't feel like there's anything Josh Allen's doing that's unstoppable. But the Buffalo Bills are playing good football, led by Josh Allen. So I will give the Buffalo Bills credit where credit is due. They're 4-1. They're winning games. And Josh Allen is leading them, so I'm giving them credit. They're number four on my power rankings.
Yeah. All right. Well, I, you know, there's not enough time in our show for us to yell at each other about this one. So I just, you know, Josh Allen or plug in any of these top quarterbacks, and that defense right now deserves better than a four ranking, Browner, and you know that.
I disagree.
Okay. We don't have enough time to disagree the way I want to keep going. So
number
three.
Have
to give us that noon to three slot for me to just go deep into this one. My number four last week, moving up with a great performance, is the Chargers. They were my four last week, and that win over the Browns, you know, takes them to the three spot with the way Herbert's playing, the way he just is unwavered on third down situations, the way he has just been able to, you know, in his second year with a new coach in his fourth game. I mean, this guy looks 5 years in the same system. It's really, really impressive. So I've got the Chargers at three, trending upward with a big matchup this weekend with the Ravens.
That's funny to me because I think that's low. But, okay, for me, number three is the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Tampa Bay Bucks, now with Tom Brady being injured, we'll see how he goes with his injured thumb. They just keep winning. Yeah. And they keep winning in ways where this is what New England was famous for. If they saw a hole in your game, if it was on the front line with running, they'd run the ball 40 times. If it was on the secondary, they'd throw it 45 times. They do whatever they needed to do to win. Tom Brady has taken that formula to Tampa Bay. It doesn't matter who gets what statistical number, because Tom Brady is going to make sure that the Tampa Bay Bucks expose your weakness. And that's what they've been great at. I'll give them credit for that. Yes, they didn't. They went to SoFi. They lost to the Rams. But outside of that game, they found ways to win at the end of the game by going at the team's weakness. And I like that. That's why they're number three for me.
All right. Well, I'm keeping them on the outside still. I you know, get the sentiment, what you're going with. No doubt. They've got a few more injuries heading into this week. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, Miami's nothing to cheer about. The game against New England, they got away with one there. Mm-hmm. Their biggest win, I think, is obviously that Dallas game by a few points. I'm still – but Dallas is right outside of Tampa if I had to go farther. But I'm going to keep them out for now. They've got a Thursday nighter with the Eagles that they should mop up again, which won't Easy really work. Impress me. So we'll have to see what other teams do throughout the week for them to crack my top five. But we're on to two, right?
Two.
Number two is my same two from last week, even though they were my one in the first week. And that's the only reason they're still two is because the number one team, and that's the Buffalo Bills. What an impressive win last week from all facets of the ball. The delay on the road in the small locker room, the rain, the bad field, going in there and playing, offense and defense the way they did against the Chiefs. I don't know how you can keep them lower than two in any power ranking. I've seen some others that have them lower than two, but, with all the, quote unquote unimpressive wins leading up to last week. And I don't care how Kansas City's going, boy, they made Mahomes look pedestrian.
Look, listen, man, people like what they like. You know, some people like cornflakes, some people like sugar smacks. Okay. You can have them. You can have them. Keep the Bills, man. Enjoy them. Get you a big old Buffalo Bill, okay? Be Buffalo. You be Buffalo Bill, okay? I ain't mad at you. Do your thing, man. Get down. For me, number two, and I mean number two by the thinnest of a hair, the Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah, I said it, and I mean it, okay? Charger loving California. Stop it, y'all. This hate that Justin Herbert is getting locally here in San Diego, y'all got to let it go. Y'all could be mad at Spanos. Don't miss out on this. This is legendary. The dude is cooking. The dude is up next, as the kids like to say. He is trending. Power ranking. He got the Chargers to number two. He and Austin Eckler willed that team to a win against a very good. Don't let nobody tell you nothing different. The Browns are a very good football team. They're a championship contender, and they outplayed them. They couldn't stop the run. The Browns ran for 200 yards, and they gave up their defense to give up 42 points. What did Justin Herbert do? Give you 47. Okay? You ain't got to be the fastest man. You just got to be faster than the next man. And that's what the Chargers are proving as well. So that, for me, the Chargers are number two.
Yeah, the most impressive thing about that Herbert game, as I said, was the way Cleveland was playing perfectly, basically, when you look at the stat line. He never let that deficit get down. It was almost like every time he went to the sideline and the Browns had the ball, he had the chin strap on, knowing they're going to go score. We have to go score again. They're going to go score. We have to go score again.
Right.
And he was really unwavered. He was never wore down. He was chased. He was bumped. He was knocked down. He converted so many third downs, and those risky fourth downs that they took, he looked like they were, he played those fourth downs like they were second downs. Like it was just so unwavering in a game that everything was, you know, going against his defense. Just, you know, he just picked it up. Very impressive guy. And my one is probably going to be your one. I don't know how you can keep the only undefeated team out of one. And, you know, it was a 17-10 win. It wasn't the prettiest win, but a win's a win. And then it was a divisional opponent that plays good defense. And the Niners are much like the Ravens. They drag you down into their game, and they make you play that kind of, God, let's just get through this and try to win. So Cardinals with a, you know, we're going to talk, you know, big about what's coming up for them this week, but they're my number one easily.
This isn't a very long discussion.
Yeah.
You nailed a lot of it. If you're undefeated, you're number one, unless somebody else is undefeated, and then we're doing semantics.
Yeah.
But look, man, what Kyler Murray's been able to do, what that defense has been able to do, the way that he's finding ways to win, Cliff Kingsbury trusting and believing in him and letting him throw the ball as many times as needed, and when you can't do it, being able to turn around and run it. That's why the Cardinals are number one, and that is the power
rank. Has anybody ever made that red and white and that beautiful Cardinal on the helmet look sexier than Kyler Murray? I mean, he just looks right in that uniform.
Looks the part, man.
You remember how weird Emmitt Smith looked in that uniform? That uniform has never really made anybody stand out, right? Larry Fitzgerald looked good in it.
Jake Plummer didn't look good in it.
No. You know, even Kurt Warner looked weird in it, even with the success he had.
Right.
But, man, Kyler looks like that was, like, tailored for him.
It's funny you say that, because there are a couple of people in uniforms. I just go, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
One of them is Emmitt Smith in the Cardinals jersey. What the hell is that?
That was the weirdest thing I ever saw when I was a kid.
Like even what? Jordan in a Wizards jersey wasn't that bad than Emmitt Smith in a Cardinals uniform. All of it was just reeked. It was all gross. Montana in the Chiefs uniform wasn't that bad at all.
No, actually, I liked Montana in a Chiefs uniform. The colors weren't that far off from there were different shades of that red or amber. But yeah, like, and Jordan, we got used to. We saw him in a North Carolina. We saw him in a Dream Team. We saw him in a Birmingham Barons uniform.
Right.
So we saw him in different uniforms. Emmitt Smith, I mean, he was in Dallas for so long. It just was weird.
That one, and I got to tell you, the other two that are a dead tie for me, apparently there's about to be an accident outside. The other two are a dead tie. Patrick Ewing in a Sonics jersey or Magic jersey, you pick, and Hakeem Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey.
I was just going to say Hakeem on a Raptors jersey. The worst NBA transition ever. Oh, that was the worst.
It made my stomach turn. It literally did.
Caitlyn Jenner looks better in a dress than Hakeem Olajuwon looked in a Raptors uniform.
It was terrible, dude. It was so bad. It just didn't look right. It looked photoshopped. And he was out there moving around playing in the jersey. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, man, he didn't even – he looked like he was trick-or-treating. I mean, he didn't even look – it was weird.
It was like the simulation broke, and this guy showed up in a Raptors jersey. Like, wait a minute, what's wrong with this?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar looked more comfortable in that pilot uniform in Airplane than
– or doing karate than, against Bruce Lee.
Yeah, exactly. He's in tights fighting Bruce Lee. But I don't know how much time we got left. But man, this has been a fun show. Never enough.
We got six more. That was sidetrackable. That was great. Yeah, that was a great set.
We can have a whole. You know what? We could probably just do a whole hour on that topic and have a lot of fun. You know, preparing a day or two to kind of go through and maybe
you know what?
Even
this
bring
is
up
we'll do.
Bring up some still shots on the show to you know that would be fun.
This is what we'll do. I'm writing it down right now. Top five.
Yeah, we'll do a power rankings of that.
Worst people in jerseys, because I don't know another way to name this on the fly like this. In different jerseys. Because Scottie Pippen didn't look bad in a Rockets uniform or Blazers uniform. But like you said, same color, same ballpark, same color scheme.
Sure.
So yeah.
I mean, no, there's some that transition fine, you know, did fine, like, you know, but
I would argue Kevin Garnett looked better in a Celtics jersey than he did in a Timberwolves jersey.
And that's even enough. That's another episode, right? Who looked better in another jersey, right? Yeah, that's another episode.
Wow, that was a glitch. My bad, y'all. My bad. Let's get back down to business because we were getting a little sidetracked. Fun, funny. Interesting road to go down. I'm pretty sure some people listening did the same thing. But back on target. NFC West games this weekend. The Rams are giving up 9.5 to the Giants. And the Giants are decimated with injuries. But 9's a lot in an NFL game because pride is still out there on the field. But we have seen 2 shutouts this year. Who you taking, Rams, Giants?
I would take the Rams and the points right now because with Aaron Donald, they might not have a quarterback to start the second quarter, you know. So the Giants are in real bad shape with Barkley and Jones all banged up, let alone everybody else that they don't have. So I think the Rams are sizing this one up, knowing that they're going to come out of here 5-1, and what a kind of a. Even with the big loss to the Cardinals, I mean, if you were to tell the Rams before the season, you're going to be 5-1, they're going to jump all over that. And this is a game that they can just go feast on. So Rams and the points, if I had to take the spread, definitely.
I would take the Rams, period. Over, under, spread,
yeah,
straight up. Yeah, this is a terrible game. This is a really terrible game. I think Daniel Jones was starting to really come on with Saquon Barkley being back in the lineup. But Saquon Barkley is one more injury away from being, hey, man, you injury prone, dog. You good. You good. But I can't trust you. We're going to have to get another back in here. You're going to have to split these carries. Or become some type of hybrid Reggie Bush, mostly a receiver, then a running back.
I said that 2 years ago. I thought that they should have gone that route 2 years ago and designed kind of their offense for him to be more of a back to catch the ball than run the ball, especially with that offensive line. You're just asking him to get crippled, you know, until you can shore up that offensive line and design some type of, you know, running game for him through that. I mean, you can't expect any good running back to survive a terrible offensive line in today's football. I mean, fronts are just too fast. They're too big. They're too strong.
Right.
They just attack too much. And when they know a run's coming and can sniff it out, they can't wait. They can't wait to play the run if they know it's coming, or if you've got something where you're deficient in so many areas.
You can't pass block, and your receivers are a bunch of – they went out and spent money. They got Kenny Golladay. He's a decent receiver. Their receivers have been null and void. So the Giants just look like they're in a really bad place. So there may
be
some fire.
We talking about them this long.
Cardinals, Browns, 2 really good teams. And this would be a fantastic opportunity for the Browns to bounce back after what happened to them last week. They're at home. Cardinals are favorite by three, who are you giving it to?
Well, this is getting close to a Browns kind of a must win almost for the Browns, an early must win. This gets them to 3-3 if they can't pull this out. And if the Ravens push to 5-1 and you've got other AFC teams climbing up the ladder, you know, in that wild card hunt, it just starts making things, you know, in your own division have to work harder. I mean, they've still got all their games left against everybody in their division still. And the Bengals are playing pretty good. And if the Steelers, depending on what they do, you know, obviously. So I'm going to take the Browns this week. I'm going to take them to step up. I'm going to, you know, eventually, you know, 5-0, 6-0. You got to lose somewhere on your schedule. And I feel like maybe the Cardinals will come into Cleveland. Maybe the long travel will, you know, be an advantage.
They're not going to Antarctica, man. They're going to Cleveland. They're not going to Antarctica. They're going to Cleveland. They don't long travel. What are you talking about? These guys are
but
jets.
You know, hey, who knows what the weather will be like in Cleveland on Sunday coming out of there in mid to late October at this point. So I'm going to give you know, my loyalty to the Browns. I feel like they're going to bounce back. They're going to build off that really good performance, shore up the defense a little bit, and get out of there with a 3-point win. Go Browns.
I think they are in very bad shape. What the Chargers did to them, the Cardinals are probably a little bit better. Just a little, but a little bit better at it, man. I hope Jadeveon Clowney comes back. I hope they're able to get their pass rush together, because I think that's the only way they'll be able to contain Kyler Murray and get him, and that's by getting him down to the ground. But he's such a scat back. And after what the Browns did to Cleveland, after what the Browns did to the Bears, I don't think any coach is going to let that happen to their quarterback. Yeah. So they're going to get their guys on the move, man. So I'm thinking it's going to be Cardinals. We are out of time. Man, this thing goes by too fast.
It does.
I'm John Browner. That's Jason Lawhead. Jason is performing this weekend. Where, real quick?
GrandComedyClub.com. Use 1090 at the coupon code. Get $10 off. Come on out, great friends. It'll be a great show. Any shows, Fridays or Saturdays. GrandComedyClub.com.
Bye.
Bye.